It's Jessie. If you're hearing this, that means my limited edition capsule collection for Joe Fresh is out now. In select stores and at joefresh.com, I designed matching pieces for the entire family in a really fun, bold checkerboard print, including a baby romper, toddler and kids dress, a kids t-shirt and short set, a shirt for men, and the cutest women's linen short set that you will live in all summer long. Every piece is under $35, and warning, you will get compliments wherever you go. Shop it now before it's gone.
This week on Phone a Friend. Is Cowboy Carter a yee-haw or a yee-nah? According to science, we should keep listening to the Backstreet Boys. Nick Cannon visited all his eggs this Easter. And Travis Kelce is soft, nude, and hairy, just the way you like it. This is the dad bod of episodes, safe, big, and you're gonna love it. So let's go.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Girl, let's phone a friend with Jessie Cruikshank.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Phone a Friend. I'm Jessie Cruikshank, and I am a survivor. I survived spring break barely. I have returned safely home after traveling alone with three children. Joining me now is a man who's recently traveled with no children, Jason, my producer.
Hi. Hi, Jessie.
Hi, JJ. Jay, was it hard to sit there on the plane alone in solitude? Was it tough?
Yeah. No, I loved it, honestly. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, Traveling without kids is actually like going to a spa for me now.
And I've become a plane sleeper, which is very new for me.
Congratulations.
Ugly sleep on the plane. But I'm not mad at it.
No. Are you head back?
Yeah,
are you head
all over the place? Back, forward, mouth open, like probably leaning on the person beside me.
Yes.
Legs in the aisle. Yeah. It's just.
Oh my gosh. I love that lifestyle for you.
Yeah.
I am a tray table down, head on the tray table, pass out, and I usually request an aisle seat so no one can get past me. Like, God forbid you're in my row and you have to pee. You can't, because I will be passed out and drooling on my tray table for the entire duration of the flight.
Mm-hmm.
When I fly alone, you know, this time I was with my three children. We went for the spring break, but also for the Easter weekend. Did you have a nice Easter, by the way, Jay?
I did. It was uneventful. So it was nice, low key.
Well, it's interesting because Easter without kids or strong religious affiliations is basically just a long weekend, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You and your partner aren't like going to the local egg roll at the park?
No.
Yeah.
But I was in West Hollywood where it's like overrun with gay people who like were running around the streets in like Playboy bunny ears and crop tops. It was, and like bunny tails on their short shorts. It was, I saw a lot of that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So Easter has been co-opted by gay men. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's almost like Halloween.
Oh, but there's only one costume. Yeah. I mean, you can't go as a sexy egg. It's only the bunny.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could go as sexy Jesus. Mm. I'm sure I would not put that past the West Hollywood community.
me either.
Just, you know, shirtless on the cross. We should move on. Should we move on?
Yes. So then how was your Easter?
My Easter, thank you for asking. Jason, my producer, wanted me to move on there, you could tell. So he just changed the subject. My Easter was a good life lesson for me, Jay, because as we talked about a few weeks ago when we discussed St. Patrick's Day, like when we were kids, at least for me, Easter was a few eggs hidden in the living room. You would collect them in like a Safeway bag and call it a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember there were a few years when my parents like took us to church because they thought they should try to make religion happen in our family. But that was it. Like that was Easter. Now there are elaborate Instagram Easter photo shoots. There are bunny prints that moms are making with stencils and icing sugar on the floors. There are lavish Easter baskets filled with Christmas level gifts, Jason. Were you aware of this?
No, I wasn't. No, there was. I've never seen gifts on Easter. Toys. I've never seen it.
Well, you're clearly not considering the shirtless men with bunny tails and ears a gift.
Yeah.
But you should. So, no, full gifts now. And I have to tell you, like, my family has slowly been moving in that direction. The kids have these, like, custom Easter baskets. Last year, Evan got the boys these big Lego sets for Easter. But this year, we're at my mom's. I'm on my own. And a few days before Easter, I said, like, oh, shoot, Mom, I got to go sneak out to get my kids Easter presents. And my mom said, oh, no, I have everything. We're good. Don't worry about it. Like, I got everything. It's taken care of. So I thought, perfect. Didn't think about it. The night before Easter, I'm like, Mom, let's get out everything. Let's get ready for Easter. She opens the cupboard, takes out one bag of like 18 foil wrapped Easter eggs and was like, here you go. I said, okay, but do you have like toys or like, she was like, what? No. She's like, you don't need toys. Just hide these in the living room. Like my 90s ass mom was like, what are you even talking about? I got one bag of Easter eggs, six for each kid. Put them in the potted plants and call it a day. She looked at me like I was the crazy one. And then it was too late for me to go out and get anything else. So I hid the 18 eggs and called it a day. And my kids woke up at the crack of dawn, found like six small Easter eggs each. We're basically like, Mom, where's the rest of the treats? Where's the baskets? Where's the Lego set? And I had to say, sorry, kids, that was Easter 2023. This is Easter 1993, okay? Take it or leave it. And I got to tell you, they took it. They survived. No toys, no baskets, no paw prints on the floor, and they still had a magical day. And that was, I mean, let that be a lesson to all of us. Phonies, if you find yourself overwhelmed trying to make holiday magic happen for your kids because Instagram moms make you feel like you have to, just stop and think, what would my 90s ass mom do? And I guarantee it'll make things a whole lot easier and more enjoyable for everyone involved. So thank you, Mom, for reminding me what's important. Spending $3.99 at the Dollarama on one bag of eggs. Wait, can I just say one more thing about Easter, Jason, before we move on?
Yeah.
You know, I follow Brie Tiesi from Selling Sunset on Instagram because she was a guest on this show. And, you know, I like to keep up with my guests. We occasionally DM. So she has a baby with Nick Cannon. And I saw her post a lavish photo shoot with her kid, Legendary Love Cannon, who I also follow BT Dubs on his separate account. So they have like a backdrop and flowers, and Nick Cannon is with them dressed as an Easter bunny. And I double tapped, and I also thought like, huh, I wonder if Nick Cannon takes that pic and then like hops off to take the same picture with his 11 other children. The next day.
Hops off.
That literally hops. Thank you. Hops off. But wait, Jason, next day, this headline pops up in my feed. Quote, Nick Cannon hops around town to celebrate Easter with all 12 kids. That's what he did. He hopped off. This man literally rented one Easter Bunny suit, as a lot of bang for the buck, made his way to all 12 of his children in one day, posed for Instagram pics, and then bounced. Like, literally, LOL, bounced. Like, Santa, if Santa had fathered all of the children he visited on Christmas Eve. Nick Cannon brought eggs to all of the eggs he has fertilized. And I thought I was stressed out, hiding a few eggs around the living room. God bless you, Nick Cannon, for doing your damn best and making me feel better about my life choices in the process. Speaking of my life choices, Jason, I have to admit something to you and honestly to the phonies at large. Because last week on this very show, I said it wasn't so bad flying alone with three kids.
Yeah.
This week, I am here to tell you that was some bullshit, okay? I don't know what I was talking about. I don't know why it was so easy on the flight out. Maybe we were like rested and excited, and so we were on our best behavior. The flight home was an absolute mess. It was like three kids who were exhausted, still coming down from a day of eating Easter eggs as their primary source of nutrition. And something happened on the flight home that I need you to weigh in on for me, Jason, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to set the scene. We have okay. four seats in a row, right? Same as the way out. But Romy is in a mood and demanding she sit on my lap. So now I'm on the aisle seat with Romy on my lap. The boys are next to us. We're getting to the end of the flight. The flight attendant is coming by to pick up the trash. I take whatever is left in Rio's apple juice cup, which is not very much, lift it off his tray table, pass it over across Romy to put it in the trash. As I do, Romy reaches for it with her fast little fat toddler arms, and the juice splashes out of the cup and over the seat. In my memory, it happened almost as if in slow motion.
Yeah.
The juice flies over, and I just hear the woman sitting in front of us, like, shriek. She stands up immediately. She's like a bougie, middle-aged woman with a large Gucci purse and a blowout, which is now wet. Her hair is wet.
Chic.
Sure. Her denim jacket is wet, like the right sleeve and the right side of her blowout is moist. I say, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She looks at me all alone with my three damn kids, has no sympathy, and just says, "Was that water?" And I had to say, like, no, it was. I mean, everything in my body wanted to say yes, but instead I was like, no, it was apple juice. She's furious. She's like huffing and puffing. She's like, her husband is across the aisle. He's trying to help her. The flight attendant says, oh, I'll go get some napkins. She runs off. I put Romy down in the seat so I can search for wipes in my bag across the aisle. Romy starts screaming because, God forbid, I put her down for 30 seconds. I am now on my hands and knees in the aisle looking for wipes under the seat. Find them, reach up to the woman with my wipes from my hands and knees as my toddler is screaming. I say, "Can I offer you some wipes?" She says, "No, but you can offer to pay for my dry cleaning." Jay.
Oh.
What do you do? What would you do?
As you?
Yes.
I cannot think of anything to do but be like, okay.
Yes. I'm literally like on my hands and knees alone with three children, one of whom is screaming. I was like, oh, of course. I get back into my seat. She hands me her phone, tells me to put my contact info in. I give her back my email and my phone number. She hands it back to me. Romy is, I'm like, have Romy on my lap, my other two kids. She hands it back, says, and add your Venmo. So I have to give her my email, my phone number, and my Venmo. And this morning, less than 24 hours later, Jason?
No, you don't get a request.
I get a Venmo request for $46.
For
like
a jacket?
Less than 24 hours. $46 for a denim jacket.
Wow.
This was a Gucci jacket. It was a denim-ass jacket.
That's expensive.
I don't know where you're doing your dry cleaning, honey, but I've never paid $46. But mind you, I've never dry cleaned a denim jacket. $46. And I paid it because I just, like, I don't know who that woman is. I don't want her to come after me with her dry cleaning bill. Also, I don't know who's at fault here, okay? Because on the one hand, I am the idiot who made the life choice to have three children. I am the one who chose to take them on a plane alone. I clearly did not have enough control over my three children because one of them splashed juice on the woman in front of me. That's not her fault. That is my fault. That is 100% on me. On the other hand, it was a denim jacket. We didn't splash juice on your chinchilla fur. And bitch, you were flying coach. I'm sorry. Is that wrong to say? Like, if you don't want to engage with other human beings in close proximity and take on the risks that come along with that, fly private, or at the very least, fly business, okay? But when you're in coach, your Gucci purse doesn't make you better than me. You're in row 32 and I'm in row 33. Anything could happen. Am I wrong?
I love that you said, if you don't want to have apple juice spilt on you, then fly private. That's amazing.
But you understand. But,
yeah.
We all agree when we board a plane together during the pandemic, we were all like, okay, I guess any one of us could get COVID.
Yeah.
But we're all in this together. And I feel like when you board a plane, you could get apple juice spilt on you. It is one of the risks that comes with sitting your ass at the back of the plane on a Air Canada flight. No?
It's such an interesting debate because if you're in whichever position you're in, you're both are kind of like, right. Like if right. I was her, I'd be pissed and yeah. I'd be like patting down my jacket with a napkin and like kind of like looking over my shoulder to make sure you were watching.
Right.
But I would never ask for money. I don't have the balls to do that. Like mm-hmm. if I get a bad haircut, I just like smile and say, it's great. And mm-hmm. I like walk away. Like, you know what I mean? I could never.
Yes. Yes. I also think like one time I was next to unaccompanied children on the plane who had those like things around their necks that were like, we are unaccompanied.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, you can send a child without
a
parent.
I've never seen that.
Oh, yes. They have these like caution tape basically around their necks that say that they are flying alone. It was a sister and her younger brother. This was before I had kids. I was the third one in the aisle with them. And the younger brother got sick and started to throw up. And I found myself holding a vomit bag open for a strange child who I didn't know. Nor did I have children at the time. It was like horrific. But I didn't ask his parent, God knows where they were, to pay for the...
For babysitting money.
Right. Thank you. So I don't know.
But then also too, it's like, if I was in your position, I feel like I would be like, oh, like, I'm sorry. Like, do you want me to like pay for your dry cleaning? And the other person is supposed to say no.
No. Thank you. When I said I absolutely will pay for it, of course, and then sat back down in my seat, I did not expect the iPhone to be passed over the seat and the information to be requested. I just didn't think she would follow through. I certainly didn't think I'd get the request for $46 American this morning. Like 85 Canadian. Should have talked about the currency because we were on international waters when it occurred.
True.
Needless to say, to the woman in row 32 on Air Canada flight 552 from YVR to LAX, who now has the cleanest denim jacket in all of Los Angeles, I say, I wish you well. Jason, it's been a week.
It's been a week, yeah.
It was a religious week indeed. Not only did we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we also celebrated the new album from our Lord and Savior, Beyoncé. Cowboy Carter came out last week. Let me paint a picture, Jason, of where I was when this occurred. I was devastated because I had to work in Vancouver the morning it came out, so I couldn't listen to it in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I had to go meet my mom and my kids who were at the beach in Vancouver because it was like the first sunny day. So my mom took the boys down to the water. And I was so desperate to listen to this album. I put an AirPod in one ear while my mom like talked to me in the other ear, and I pretended to listen while watching my kid throw rocks into the water. I was like an absentee daughter and mother with Beyonce in one ear, secretly listening to the new album. And actually, it was kind of the most majestic way to listen to this album. It was the first beautiful day in Vancouver we had had all week. My kids are running down the beach while Beyonce sings Bodyguard in my left ear. Like, I instantly loved Cowboy Carter, and I couldn't wait to hear what you, Jason, my producer, thought about it. And then I found out that you, Jason, producer of this pop culture podcast, pop music aficionado, culturally educated gay man, has not yet listened to Cowboy Carter.
No.
I'm going to need to take a minute. Jason, it's been out for 5 days now. Would you care to defend yourself or?
I don't have a good excuse. I just haven't jumped on it.
What were the men in West Hollywood hopping to, if not Cowboy Carter?
Right. I'll get around to it for sure. I love Beyonce. I'm so much more of like a Beyonce dance music fan.
Yep.
So like I wasn't overly excited about the Super Bowl songs. Not to say I didn't enjoy them. It's just not my go-to. I'm still okay. Kind of on the Ariana Grande train.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Yeah. This is fair. Here's what I'm going to do, Jace. Instead of just talking about the album on this episode, I would like to try to convince you to listen to it by making three key points. Does that work?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Number one, as Beyonce said herself, this is not a country album, Jason. It's a Beyonce album. It really is. And the craziest part is, I honestly don't know how she's managed to do that. It is like a seamless melding of genres. Because I don't know about you, but I heard what you refer to as the Super Bowl songs. LOL. I heard Texas Hold'em. And I thought like, okay, so the whole album is going to have this, you know, Franklin theme song, honky tonk energy. It does not. It has a quintessentially Beyonce energy.
Okay.
It is Beyonce doing Beyonce, but instead of saying surfboard, she's saying do-si-do. Like, literally. There's like a sex jam where she says do-si-do. Instead of driver roll up the partition, it's boy, I'll let you be my Levi's jeans so you can hug that ass all day long. Like, we still get the dirty sex jams.
Okay, yeah.
We still get the bops that you're looking for, just with, like, elements or references to country or, I don't know, like, Americana, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
Okay, number two. If you're not going to come for the Beyonce, Jason, come for the Miley Cyrus, the Dolly Parton, the Willie Nelson, the Post Malone, the Shaboozy. Didn't know who that was. Do now.
Same.
This is the thing with this album. She's giving us features and duets in a way she never has, never does, which is A, so smart. Like, she's, you know, paying tribute to her predecessors in this country album with, like, Willie Nelson getting on board, Dolly Parton kind of backing her, bringing her, accepting her in this genre. And then she's making space to highlight all of, you know, her potential successors, right? All of these emerging Black country artists are on the album. And since the album came out 5 days ago, they've seen their followers and their streaming numbers skyrocket. Six Black country artists are on Spotify's top artist chart for the first time in history, which is amazing. And then she's also forcing me to like Post Malone, okay? There is a Post Malone duet on this album. And I don't know about you, Jay. This is a man who I only know from like his face tattoos and the song Sunflower, which my 6-year-olds listen to on the Spider-Man soundtrack. Suddenly, I can't escape him. He's in the J-Lo visual album. He's singing a sex jam with my girl, And now I have no choice but to engage. I think I have to like Post Malone now.
Yeah, I like Post Malone.
His music?
Yeah.
Huh. Do I need to start listening to Post Malone?
Yes.
Shaboozy and Post Malone?
You know what? You know, Post Malone is like one of those people who has songs that are playing all the time and you know them.
Or you're, right.
That you'd be like, oh, that's Post Malone? Yeah, of course. I know that song. I love it.
Okay. 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 Add it to the, I'll just make room next to the Justin Timberlake featuring NSYNC playlist. I'll make room for some more Post P. Malone. I don't know. Also, have you heard them? Have you heard any of the songs? Have you heard the Miley duet?
No. That should have been my first. I listened to the Jolene one because that's like, there's like an iconic thing happening there. But then someone told me to listen to Bodyguard, which I also listened to, which I thought was like fun. I was like,
Bodyguard
that
is
was definitely fun. Yeah.
Bodyguard, I think, is my current favorite song on the album. Like, I feel like I will move on to others, but currently it's my favorite. It's like, see, it's like fun, easy listening.
Yeah.
The Miley song is great too. I need to know if this happened before or after the Grammys, because I would understand if Beyonce, who was at the Grammys in her white Stetson hat, saw Miley perform that like incredible performance at the Grammys and thought, God damn, I need this woman to be on the album. Or if she had Miley on before the Grammys, in which case Beyonce just like has great taste and a vision. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I did hear that this Cowboy Carter album was supposed to be first.
Yes.
So I wonder if that they did that years ago, her and Miley.
No, it's possible. She said she's been working on this album for 5 years. There's like references to many years ago in the lyrics. It's possible. For me, it's like I understand that duets are a staple in country music and of the genre. I think the song is great. I love that Miley is getting a stamp of approval from Beyonce because, as I said in a mid-season banger here, I think that Miley is one of the greatest performers of our time.
I love that.
I just don't know that Beyonce needs to duet with anybody. Like, unless you're Michelle or Kelly or even Latavia, Tamar, Nikki, or Nina, I don't think she needs anyone to harmonize with her. Even in the song, she's like kind of out singing Miley. Can I play a little bit for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
I'll be your shotgun rider till the day I die.
Beyonce's all shotgun. She's giving the trills.
They sound good together.
Miley is just like, I'm just going to be here singing the basic melody to Beyonce.
I hope they were like together.
Me too.
I always think about that.
Do you know that I need this Grammys performance? Rarely do I think I need anything from the Grammys, but I do need this performance at the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
Miley and Beyonce. I think they sound fine together. Again, I don't think Beyonce needs anyone. But if she's going to choose someone, make it be Miley. Okay, at number three, my third and final reason you should listen to Cowboy Carter. This album solidifies Beyonce as the greatest musical icon of our time, period. Taylor, don't talk to me about Taylor. Taylor is amazing at what she does. Beyonce is the best. I said it. She's the best. She's constantly evolving. She's continually reinventing her sound, and she always does it well. And it's so rare for an artist to try something new and like deviate from the music that people love them for and actually succeed doing it, right? We saw what happened when Justin Timberlake tried to veer country. He veered into the woods and had a very hard time making his way out.
Yeah.
The album is also a reminder for anyone who needs to hear this. You cannot fuck with Beyonce. She performed Daddy Lessons at the CMAs in 2016. And possibly racist, definitely traditional country fans protested. They started a hashtag to boycott the CMAs. Since that moment, 8 years ago, B has been plotting her revenge. She's like, bitch, you don't think I'm country enough? Give me 7 years, 13 collaborators, Willie Nelson, Dolly Parton, and I'll show you how country I am. And she did. Also, I pray for Becky with the good hair. Okay, she got dragged through the Lemonade album almost a decade later. She was like, I'm in the clear, but no. Beyonce is still singing about her in her version of Jolene. That poor woman can't get a break.
I heard people are sort of like ticked off that she changed some of the lyrics to Jolene.
Ticked off ticked is a off. Very lovely way to say it, Jason. If I had told my mom on that beach that I was listening to the Beyonce album in my left ear, my mom would have said, I heard people are ticked off about that Jolene cover. Yes. Okay. I mean, she changes the lyrics and, like, you know, calls herself a Creole Banji bitch from Louisiana, which I'm not certain Dolly Parton did in 1973. You know what I mean? I don't remember if she used that lyric, but Dolly approved the song. Beyonce gave Dolly full writing credit. So she's making all of that cash. So, like, you know, stop being so ticked off, you Banji bitches.
And you know what the West Hollywood gay bunnies were ticked off about this weekend also?
Tell me.
Is that everyone was expecting Telephone Part 2, Beyonce and Lady Gaga. And it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. And doesn't Dolly Parton reference a lyric from Telephone? So we all thought that's why it was going to happen.
Oh, I don't know that part.
You got to listen to the album, Jason. Okay. Reason number four to listen to the album, okay. Because there is something Lady Gaga adjacent for you. Okay.
Yeah.
And those are not my three. They are my four reasons to listen to Cowboy Carter immediately following the recording of this podcast. Are you convinced?
I'm right after this.
Perfect. Because she's not just giving us a country album, Jay. She is giving us a country movement in the culture. I'm just going to add this for you, Jason. According to new data released this week, sales of cowboy hats have increased 400%. The purchase of, quote, rhinestone cowboy hats have soared by 331%. Cowboy boots are up by 161%. And the sale of bolo ties have skyrocketed by almost 600%. I think you'd look great in a bolo tie.
I don't know.
Nothing but a bolo tie in West Hollywood. Oh, should I mention that I'm sitting at my microphone in nothing but leather chaps and a Stetson? Thanks, Beyonce. Just call me Cowboy Crookshank. What's next? Those pictures of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on the beach in the Bahamas came out a couple of weeks ago, but they are finding new and fun ways to continue to break the internet. The conversation has now shifted to Travis's hot bod, specifically his dad bod. In case you need a visceral refresher on the photos in question, I'm calling all thirsty moms.
Calling all thirsty moms.
In grainy paparazzi photos on the beaches of the Bahamas, my favorite oaf, Travis Kelce, can be seen emerging from the ocean in nothing but tie-dyed swim trunks, clinging to his trunk. All 6'5" of his 250-pound frame are soaking wet, with beads of moisture dripping off his hair-covered torso, like a sweater emerging from the Caribbean seas. His body is big and soft, not an ab, bicep, or tricep in sight. Just fleshy mounds of soft, hairy crevices for my hairy crevices to explore. This has been Calling All Thirsty Moms.
Calling All Thirsty Moms.
Did that paint the picture for you, Jason?
Yeah.
Or should I go further into detail?
I got it.
Okay, great. I thought it was important to sort of create a visual landscape there for the phonies because these pictures have caused an internet frenzy over what's being described as his dad bod. I felt the need to define it. Okay, first of all, according to our favorite dictionary, the Urban Dictionary, a dad bod is defined as a male body type that is best described as softly round. I am not sure that this is that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
I am someone who does 3 school drop-offs every morning. I consider myself an expert on dads, specifically their bods. And I don't know that we can put world-class athlete, Super Bowl champion Travis Kelce's slightly soft bod in the same category as like Carter's dad, Glenn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No offense to Glenn. You look great. We had a great time at Carter's birthday party. I'm just saying. To me, Travis Kelce just looks normal. Like, this is an above average bod. Is the bar so high for men now that anything other than Jake Gyllenhaal in that boxing movie is now considered a dad bod? Probably in West Hollywood on Easter.
Yeah, no, that gave me a complex for sure.
You were like, I'll never look that fit in my small, fluffy tail and ears. Also, my question is like, when are we going to start celebrating mom bods, okay? When will a mother of three emerge from the Caribbean seas with stretch marks and sagging breasts and jiggling thighs and a wrinkly belly that has given life to another human being be celebrated? It's about damn time. So many people were commenting on his bod. Travis himself has entered the chat saying this to his brother on their New Heights podcast.
We're at 283 this morning. We're in the same weight class now.
Yeah, I know, but I'm 283. You don't have the heart that I do when it comes to drinking. Whoa.
It's March. We're in the same weight class right now.
It's March, which was also my excuse for not going to the gym this past year. To contextualize, Travis's normal weight is around 250 pounds of pure oaf meat. And what he's saying is that he's now in his brother Jason's weight class, who weighs 283 pounds. And what I would like to say is if I was vacationing in the Bahamas with my billionaire lover, I would also be 283 pounds. Hard to keep the weight off when you're having dinner at Carbone and vacationing in the Bahamas every night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I should also say, yes, I realize as recently as last week, I said we should stop commenting on people's bodies. That's why I want you to know, phonies, this segment is not just me being a thirsty mom objectifying a man's body. This segment is about so much more than that. It's about science. I'd like to dive into some of my findings, if I could, Jason.
Please do.
I wish I had paper here to rifle through. I'll just use an empty snack bag. New studies show that 7 out of 10 women find dad bods attractive, and it's now been scientifically proven that straight women gravitate more towards a man with a dad bod. According to my in-depth research, aka one article I read on Psychology Today, women find a male they assume to have lower testosterone levels more appealing because he would be assumed to be less aggressive and have characteristics that would make for a better partner and a better father. So basically, subconsciously, our brains are telling us that a man who's softly round might have less testosterone, making him more gentle and more fatherly. That makes sense.
I can see that.
Yes, I understand this. The thing that is confusing to me, and maybe I'm just past my mating days, but I'm so used to being with a dad who now has a softer physique that I'm like, I don't know, Jake Gyllenhaal in that boxing movie looks pretty good to me. There's a billboard of him shirtless on the way to my kid's school, and I almost get into a car accident at 7:25 every morning. I'm just saying. It's like one thing to thirst for a dad bod, ironically, as a young single woman. It's another thing to sleep next to one for 17 years. You know what I'm saying? The appeal has been lost. I do know that I would not necessarily want to like be in a relationship with Jake Gyllenhaal. Sorry, Jake. Stop calling me. Because if you're with like that fit, ripped, gym-going man, I don't know, it would probably make me feel self-conscious about my body. You know what I mean? There's something safe about being with a softer man. And if I could just pull up my research again. So many papers. Other studies have found that, quote, extremely attractive men are more likely to cheat. So perhaps the psychology, Jason, is the rounder the bod, the more faithful the man. Like if a man is slightly insecure about his dad bod, maybe he won't go out looking for his Becky with the good hair. You know what I mean?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I buy that.
Okay.
In conclusion, I hope that soft, hairy, wet bod prevents Travis Kelce from cheating on Taylor. Unless it's with me. What's next?
What's next?
He looks great. He looks great. So much to grab onto. Do you know what I mean?
I agree. I thought he looked great in that picture too.
Oh, she looked great too. She looked great. Oh yeah. My God. Not that we're commenting on people's bodies on this podcast. We're just saying they looked great. And that was a segment about science. Moving right along. More science today. This week I saw a TikTok video that really spoke to me. And in fairness, it was a TikTok video that had been reposted to Instagram, which is the only way I see TikTok videos because I am old. Not too old to tell you what's hot on TikTok.
What's hot on TikTok?
Okay, so this video went viral featuring a therapist explaining why listening to music from your adolescence is therapeutic. Listen to this.
Okay, hi, I'm a therapist. There is a thing called neuronostalgia where researchers are actually finding that the music we listen to as teenagers bind to our brains differently than anything we're ever going to hear as adults. So literally one of the best coping skills and things that I still do myself is listen to the music that you love to listen to, like bangers as a teenager. If that's like punk rock, Pitbull, like whatever, listen to that because it actually helps us. It helps us get out of our heads and it helps us connect to ourselves. It makes us feel alive again. So that is 100% approved. Do it all the time. I'll do it with you.
Thank you, TikTok therapist. This is obviously why I play Pitbull and NSYNC and Usher on this podcast, for neural nostalgia, to help us all cope, for science. I'm not old and out of touch because my Spotify Wrapped list featured Daniel Tiger and the Backstreet Boys. I'm in therapy. I said it here a few weeks ago. Hearing the five-part harmony in Paradise by Justin Timberlake featuring NSYNC made me feel things in my body that I had not felt since 2003. And now I understand it's not just me being like a horny, out-of-touch mom who listens to the Trolls soundtrack without her kids around. It is science, Jason. It's not my fault. I was raised by boy bands. That music has bind it to my brain, as she says, and it will still make me feel sweaty and horny until the day I die. And now I don't feel so bad about that, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have music that you still listen to from your youth for therapeutic purposes, Jay?
Yeah. I think, yeah.
I know.
I mean, like for me, it would be like Spice Girls, Britney Spears.
Yes.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack. If you know, you know.
Hasn't listened to Cowboy Carter, has listened to the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack. Wow. Listen, I would also apply this theory to men. Because I feel like the men I was attracted to as a teenager, like after having my, you know, pubescence and sexual awakening, like the JTTs, the Howie Ds, the Leonardo DiCaprios, I will be attracted to those men until the day I die, dad bods, receding hairlines and all. You know what I mean?
Leonardo DiCaprio showed up on like every dad bod list that I looked up.
How many dad bod lists did you look up for research for our scientific segment, Jason?
Like a lot. Like I was just Googling like celebrities with dad bods and Leo was on every one of them.
Anyone else you want to share?
And Seth Rogen.
Oh.
Seth Rogen was on all of them.
Ew. Speaking of people I went to high school with, it's actually like gross to me that people now find Seth attractive. I don't know. He's like somebody that I grew up with and was not attracted to in high school. But let me tell you, my number one in high school, like my high school crush, the boy who never looked at me, but I like secretly cut out his picture from the yearbook and like had it under my pillow, like obsessed with in high school, has not aged well. Literal dictionary definition of a dad bod with like a Prince William hairline. And I would still give it all up for him. He's like a tired ass father of three. And I still get sweaty and cannot form words in his presence because the effect that he had on me as a teenager is forever binded to my brain. Like when I am in the city of Vancouver, as I just was, I will put makeup on to go out the door because God forbid I run into on the street. Please bleep that name, Rob. Please bleep his name. He's married happily. We can't let this get out. Also, like, why do you think I'm going to the Lovers and Friends Festival featuring Usher, the Backstreet Boys, Nelly, Snoop Dogg, Neo? I'm going with my five best high school girlfriends because we want to reconnect to our 15-year-old selves, Jason. We're going to Vegas for therapy. In conclusion, I will continue to bump hits of 1997 to 2007 on this podcast without shame because I now know that it is my gift to you, phonies, to help you reconnect to yourself and help you feel alive again. Thanks, TikTok therapist. Cue Backstreet Boys. Did you feel that in your loins?
Yeah.
Was that a yes?
Yeah.
Next time I'll find something from the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack. What's next?
What's next?
If the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack doesn't make you happy, maybe money will. Jason, if you had, I don't know, $700,000 sitting around, just stacks of cash, collecting dust, what would you do with it?
Like other than paying for my dry cleaning, apparently, like a new car, best car I could find.
Okay. I mean, seriously, like $700,000 to me is just enough to pay for baseball equipment and a year of piano lessons in this economy. So I would really put it towards practical things. But if anyone said I would buy the door from the ending of the Titanic movie, sadly, you'd be out of luck because someone just bought that door at auction for $718,750. They purchased the door, the very large door that Rose kept all to herself while Jack froze to death in the water. Pre-dad bod Jack, if I may add. That door was auctioned off along with other iconic movie props in a Hollywood prop auction. Don't know how I didn't get invited to this. Probably don't have the net worth, but I would have spent my entire life savings and all of my children's college fund on this Titanic door. Okay? This is an incredible use of almost $1 million. Everybody knows this door, right? Leonardo DiCaprio in his prime has clung wet to this door. More importantly, you can hang it up in your house and your friends can actually see if two people could viably fit on it. You know what I mean? You now possess the answer to the question that has been asked in our culture for 25 years. This is a phenomenal purchase. I have no notes. Other than the Titanic door, what movie prop would you pay any amount of money for?
I think, you know, the like computer closet from Clueless haven't you always wanted that?
Yes. Yes. You're right. See, this was something that was imprinted on your brain yeah. as a young person. And now you want to spend your millions on it. Yes. You know what? Any outfit from Clueless for me, like, even though you can get it at Target now, so maybe that's not the best purchase. Like 12-year-olds are wearing Cher's yellow plaid skirt suit. But I would say, basically things that I've thirsted after, like any food item half eaten by Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11, I would purchase.
Mm-hmm. Good
like,
one.
Give me that half eaten shrimp, okay? Ugh, I would do things with it you can't even imagine. We got a gasp. Okay, and then also the Hawaiian shirt Leonardo DiCaprio died in Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, dark, but like cool.
Dark, like hot and dark and chic, right?
Yeah.
That Hawaiian shirt has made a comeback. Like I would like to be buried in that Hawaiian shirt
yeah.
from that movie. But again, this was a moment in time that was imprinted on me. That was like my favorite movie of the 90s and 2000s. So it would be a therapeutic, you know, spending of my millions. I asked my followers on Instagram this question. Jason, I am pulling up my DMs right now.
Okay.
I'm going to read you some answers.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of the dirty dancing watermelon. I don't know what this is.
Me either.
Oh, shoot. We're going to get attacked.
I've actually never seen Dirty Dancing.
What?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Too much time spent listening to the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack, I gather.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, you should watch Dirty Dancing. That should be an aside. Like Cowboy Carter followed by Dirty Dancing. I feel that you should watch that. Even just Patrick Swayze in like his jazz pants. It's worth the watch.
Okay.
No dad bod there, if you know what I mean. Okay. The spirit stick from Bring It On. That's good.
Oh, I want to change my answer to that one. I love that.
Has seen Bring It On. That's good to know. Somebody wrote any outfit from Legally Blonde. That's good. That's fair. Anything from the movie Selena? Oh, I'd take like a bedazzled bustier as worn by J-Lo.
A hoop earring.
If those bangs were clip-on, give me those wispy ass bangs. I will pay $700,000. And then this person just wrote Ryan Reynolds or Liam Hemsworth for sure. It's just to clarify, those are not props. Those are people. But honestly, I'd buy them at auction too. Not Chris. I like that they went for Liam. Liam is the better Hemsworth. Do we agree on this?
I would pick Chris.
As the hotter Hemsworth?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I think I just get his like ads for his workout app all the time. It's like binded to my brain. So.
And then this, someone wrote Channing Tatum's eggplant emoji in Magic Mike.
Oh, like a prosthetic?
No, I think it's the actual thing, Jace. Okay. I think it's the actual, just the actual thing. And finally, the Spice World bus. I mean.
That is the best one.
That's the best one.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Whoever wrote that wins.
Imagine your vehicle that you said you wanted to buy a new car. Imagine you buy the Spice World bus. Yeah. You just roll around town in the double-decker Spice World bus.
Wow.
Anything from the Spice World movie, to be honest. Wow. Okay. I think the takeaway here is in this current economic climate, save your money. Because you never know when a wet old piece of wood or the Spice World bus will be up for sale at an auction for you to buy. After the break, Ariana Maddox got cheated on once and has been taking everyone's jobs since. Controversial to say? Probably, but I'm saying it because now she's coming for my job and I have thoughts. I'm checking my voicemail. Next.
Commercial break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're back, and I asked two things from you, phonies. I ask you to leave me a review. Truly, 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 your 5-star reviews of this podcast really help us a lot. You can leave them anonymously. You can just leave the 5 stars. You don't have to write anything. It'll take you 10 seconds, so please take 10 seconds to do that. And I ask you to leave me a message about anything. Let's check my voicemail.
Check, check, check your voicemail.
Hi, Jesse. It's Vanessa from Thunder Bay. I love your podcast. I'm a bit ashamed to say that as a fellow busy mom of three, I am a little bit behind. So I listened to your episode with Sheena Shea a few months ago, and having never watched Vanderpump Rules before, it intrigued me. So I started back at season one, and I have been binge watching that show like it's my full-time job. I just finished season five, where Sheena and Shay get divorced at the end. And at the reunion show, as Shay is leaving, Lisa Vanderpump hugs him and says, "I wish you well." And I burst out laughing at this full circle moment. So my question for you is, do you have a go-to phrase that you use when maybe you don't want to be outwardly bitchy, but you kind of want to have a little passive-aggressive undertone? So Gwyneth has, "I wish you well." The South has, "bless your heart." What does Jesse Cruikshank have? Thanks so much. I can't wait to hear your answer, but it might be a few months before I get there, so sorry about that. Love you anyway. Bye.
I love this for you, Vanessa. I love a busy mom of three discovering Vanderpump Rules and going all the way back to season one, okay? I had Sheena Shea on this podcast. I did not do that. I started at season 10, and full disclosure, I have fallen off. I'm sorry. I watched episode one of the new season to talk about it on this podcast. I have not watched an episode since. Jason, every week you ask me, are you watching? Have you been watching? Did you start watching? I haven't watched.
I know. And it's good this season.
Does it get good?
Like, it's great. Yes.
Wait, because Tom was not in the first episode. I just wanted to see what happened between Tom and Ariana. I didn't get that, and I just sort of fell off. I decided to devote my 80 hours to Love is Blind, which was, I think, a great use of my time. So tell me, what happens? Tom comes back, and then what?
Every episode after episode one is, like, exactly what you want. It's just, like, him navigating the group and how much they hate him and trying to, like, win them all back over.
Wow.
And it's just fascinating to see, like, everybody kind of in real time changing their opinion on him, or like their thoughts, or like kind of like healing their words all the time.
Does Ariana like become, for me, she's just so mean to him.
Yeah.
So aggressively angry and mean. I found it hard to watch.
And that continues. Like, her and her friend Katie are basically just like, all their only scenes, their only screen time is them just like rolling their eyes at him or complaining about him or making fun of him.
Right.
It's really, really fascinating how they've kind of like switched. The pendulum has swung the other way.
The pendulum has swung in Tom Sandoval's direction. Who would have thought? Jason, now you're making me want to watch the season.
Yeah, you have to.
Okay. It's going to be my next show. I'm just finishing up Love on the Spectrum and I will move on.
Oh, yeah.
To Vanderpump. I mean, the new season is great. Highly recommend. Very different energy.
Things.
Different energy from Vanderpump Rules, I'll tell you that much. We have been sidetracked. Sorry, Vanessa. You asked me if I had a passive-aggressive phrase that I use, other than "I wish you well," which I use often on this show. That's tough because I'm like a very non-confrontational person. I am like, you know, terrified of a woman yelling at me on an airplane. I do think I use the term "I'm proud of you" in a way that could be a little passive aggressive. Like, I think I tell people that I'm slightly jealous of, Jason, "I'm proud of you," which I think is a little belittling. Like, that's what you say to a child when they share, you know, when somebody achieves something impressive as an adult, unless you're a mentor to that person. I don't know if "I'm so proud of you" is like a super complimentary thing to say, because it sort of takes credit away from them and puts it on you somehow. Like, I'm cognizant of that, but I have said it to people that I think I want to undercut a little bit. Is that bad? I don't say it often, but I have caught myself saying it a few times.
I'm going to watch out for that now.
Jason, I just want to tell you, everything that you've achieved, I'm just so proud of you. See, it's like a little condescending.
Yeah, it's in the delivery.
Right. I'm so proud of you. Better?
Yeah.
Jason, I'm never going to tell you I'm proud of you, because now you know it means like, I'm just like, I'm belittling you a little bit, and I don't like that about myself. But Vanessa made me reveal that. And now you know. And that's our show. Huge thanks to Jason, my producer. Thank you to Beyonce. Thank you to Travis Kelce's dad bod. Thank you again to the Backstreet Boys for making me the woman I am today. Thank you to the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack. Jason, is there anything off that soundtrack you would like to end today's episode with?
Actually?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, it has to be Melissa Joan Hart's cover of One Way or Another.
Listen, I was obviously going to play something off of the Cowboy Carter album because it is breaking records and making history in the culture. But now that I think about it, I think playing Melissa Joan Hart's cover of One Way or the Other of the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack is actually more on brand for this podcast. So Rob, our technical producer, please reach into the archives and find Melissa Joan Hart's cover of One Way or the Other and roll it.
Oh, there are people out there who will love it.
If you are listening to this and you are loving it, please phone, leave us a voicemail. Make Jason feel less alone. Jason, are you really binding to your neural nostalgia?
Yeah.
It's all happening. Well, now I have to thank Melissa Joan Hart for making Jason the man that he is today. Jason, my producer, I'm proud of you. As always, thank you, phonies, for listening. Have an incredible week. And I have an idea. Should we talk next Thursday? Okay, I'll call you then. Bye. Melissa Joan Hart, who has been selected over Beyoncé Knowles Carter for the first time in history. Do your thing.
Was created by our mommy Jessie Cruxin. The executive producers are Jessie Cruxin and Jason Yanda. The technical producer is Rob Perra. The amazing theme song and sexy interludes are by Jay Malinowski from Bedouin Sound Clash. Phone a Friend is part of the Acast Creator Network. Credits are by us, Ray Gatica and Rio Gatica. We're her kids. That's crazy, right? Wow, you're still listening? Okay, see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.